Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberg from Israel Passaic Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. Today's shiur is on Masechet Sukkah, Daf Hei. And the topic of the shiur is pronouncing the letters in Hashem's name, say it ain't no. Before we get into the actual topic, we have to put into context what is a topic like this doing in Masechet Sukkah. So we just need a little bit of an introduction, and the introduction goes through the Gemara towards the bottom of Daf Amud Beis, basically stretching all the way through the Daf, and the Daf is really trying to figure out one basic question, and that is, what is the source of the minimum height of a sukkah being 10 tefachim? The first and lengthy Havamina involves a complex analysis of the dimensions of the Arum. Now the Gemara's assertion is based on the several facts. First, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, may olam liyard shechina lamata, the shechina never went into the lower spheres of the world, v'lom olum Moshe v'Eliyahu lamarom. And nor did Moshe and Eliyahu go up to heavens. When they went up to heavens, they didn't really go up to the heavens. But they kind of stayed in what we would call the earthly sphere. Shenemar, and the source for this memra is, Hashemayim, Shemayim Lashem, the arts nasalim niyadam. The Shemayim belongs to Hashem, and the land belongs to people. So the idea is that when Hashem came down to speak for Moshe, it was in a separate rishus, so it was in the domain of the heavens. Here's a second fact. When Hashem spoke with Moshe, he heard the call of Hashem coming from on top of the Arun. And the third fact is the Arun and the Kaporas, the Arun and its cover, were a total of 10 tefachim high. As both is said in the Gemara, Arun Tisha, the Arun is 9 tefachim, the Kaporas tefach, and the Kaporas is an additional tefach. You add the two of them together, Harei Kanasara, so you have 10 tefachim of Siv, and the Pasuk also says, V'nu'ati l'chasham, I will come to you there, or I'll be meeting with you there, V'dibarti chom mi'ala Kaporas, I'll speak to you from above the Kaporas in what we would call the heavenly Rishus, the heavenly sphere. Thus we see from here that when it comes to a domain, a rishus, a domain is defined by 10 tefachim. And as the domain is defined by 10 tefachim, that's where we see that the domain of a sukkah is also 10 tefachim. So there we see this is how we have our initial limud. Now, how are we going to figure this out exactly, that the Arun was 10 tefachim tall? So this is the discussion further continues. Bishlama Arun Tisha Dixiv Yasur Arun Atzei Shitim HaMasayim V'chetzi Yarkov V'yamah V'chetzi Rachbo V'yamah V'chetzi Komasal. So I can understand that the Arun was 9 tefachim. How do I understand that the Arun was 9 tefachim? Because the Pasuk in listing the dimensions mentions that the Arun happened to be an Amma and a half high. Now based on the fact that an Amma is measured at 6 tefachim, using this fact that an amma is 6 tefachim, you do the math, and 1.5 amos is going to equal to 9 tefachim. So showing that the Arun is 9 tefachim high is something which is pashut. Understanding how the kaporos was a tefach, that's a different story. The Torah doesn't give the measurements of the height. You know, obviously we understand the length and the width because we know that the kaporos covered the Arun. So if the Arun was 2.5 by 1.5, the kaporos is also going to be 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos. But how do we know that the kaporos was a tefach high? So several suggestions are given, and one includes the tzitz. And while the Gemara rejects the tzitz suggestion, here is where the point of our shear is going to be brought out from. The Gemara says, V'nelef mitzitz, tesanya, tzitz domer kimintas shel zahav, the tzitz is comparable to like a golden plate. V'rochav shtei etzba'os, its width was 2 fingers. Umukaf mi ozen la'ozen, and it stretched from ear to ear. The kasuv alav shtei shitin, and there were 2 lines of writing on the tzitz. Yud and hey lamala. The yud and the hey symbolizing Hashem's name on the top. The kodesh lamid milmata, and holy 2 on the bottom. So, while you see a lot of the illustrations will say kodesh l'Hashem on one line, the way the Gemara is saying over here was, it said Hashem's name on top, and it said kodesh le, kodesh 4 underneath it. So, this is where we learned out that the tzitz was a tefach, and eventually this gets rejected because we're to say the tzitz is more of a tafshit as opposed to a kli. Okay, but we are left with the side question that's brought up by Tosfos, which is going to lead to our discussion. The question is based on a mission that's brought down in Maseches Sanhedrin. The first mission in Chelek, Rav Tzadi writes the following: Ve'elu she'in lahem chelek l'olam haba. The following people do not earn a share in olam haba. We know that. Thankfully, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. Every Jew is assured a portion in the world to come, and the actuality is that a person actually has to work very hard. A person has to actually work very hard to lose that chelek. You know, so the Gemara then lists several different averos that would cause a person to lose that chelek. And one of those averos is brought down by, is enumerated by Abba Shaul, and Abba Shaul Omer, Afahoge es Hashem bi'osi Yosef. One who pronounces the name of Hashem with its letters. So again, one could just simply say, this is referring to reading out the name of Hashem. As we know, based on the pasuk Zeshemili Olam is a Zechrila Dorador, but Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Psachim, most brought down in Rashi and Chumash, is that in Olam Hazeh, the name of Hashem is going to be written one way, but it's going to be pronounced one way. That whenever we see the four-letter name of Hashem starting with the Yod and ending with the Hey, we don't pronounce it as if it's written, but rather we pronounce it with what we call the Shema Ados. We call it Ado, like that, as opposed to the way it's actually written. However, there is something else about it, because look what Tosfos says. Tosfos wants to know, Afapisha Yud Hey Shem Gamor. Yud and Hey happens to be a full name of Hashem. And it's understood that the reason the Gemara didn't mention all four letters in Hashem's name describing the Tzitz, because that's clearly Shem Hashem. And we can't write out the four letters, because we're going to say, or should we put it like this? Let's backtrack a second. Sorry, I got a little bit of train of thought. So we know you can't say out the name of Hashem. That's clear. But look what Tosfos does. Tosfos is going to come with analysis that's going to tell us that we have a problem as well. You see, what our Gemara did was our Gemara wrote out a Yud and a Gemara wrote out a He. And it's understood that the reason why the Gemara didn't write out all four letters is because there's some type of a prohibition for writing all four letters of Hashem's name. That would be under the idea of Hahoge Shem Hashem, because you would actually pronounce the Yud and the Hey and so on and so on. The problem that Tosfos is going to be bothered by is mentioned in a five-word question. And these are where Tosfos really takes a little bit of diligence to learn it, and it takes a little bit of digging in there, because it's a very subtle question, but it's a very big one. Tosfos just simply writes, innocently, Afal Pisha Yud Hey Shem Gomor. Even though Yud-Heh is a full name. What's Tosfos doing? Tosfos is telling us that the word Yud-Heh is also a shame of Hashem. So if you're going to tell me the Gemara stopped and didn't say the whole four letters because we don't want to be Hoge Shem Hashem, so why is it that the Gemara then writes Yud-Heh? Yud-Heh is also a shame Hashem, and we're still within the same problem. So the answer that Tosfos gives is, Tosfos says, Ein ze Hoge Shem Biosi Yosef. Tosfos is going to say, this is not considered to be Hoge Shem Hashem. Why? Kemadeno Mazkiram L'Shem Shemayim Shalom. Because you're only abbreviating. Meaning, what were you trying to do? You were trying to go ahead and find a way we're trying to shorten the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. So yes, instead of saying Yud Kei Vav Kei, we just say the Yud and the Hey. So that's, yes, I understand that, how that's going to work. But to actually go ahead and say the full name, that would be a problem. Okay, so that's what Tosfos is going to be saying. Again, since the Yud and the Hey are only making up part of the four-letter name of Hashem, there's no issue with being Hoges Hashem. It should be known that Rashi also has an answer that he holds that this issue only applies to the 42-letter of name of Hashem that we're not aware of. But again, just to cope with this and keep this Tosfos answer on your fingertips, the idea is that since Yud and Hey is an abbreviated name, it's not going to fall under the auspices or the designation of that Isser. However, the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Zayin is cholik on this. And Tosfos writes, V'nira l'ri, She'ein lahazkir af osios Yud and Hey, K'moshe regilim ha'olam, Sheharei, Yud Hey Hu Shem HaMiyuchad. Tosfos over there in Avodah Zarah basically paskins like our question. And Tosos over there points out that there really is an issue as far as writing the Yod and the Hey together. So then how would Tosos in Avodah Zarah explain our Gemara? So I saw two answers brought down in the Achronim. One is the Sfas Emes. And the Sfas Emes writes that we can make a distinction between writing and reciting. In the Sfas Emes' understanding, the issue of Hoges Hashem is one of recitation, an oral expression of the letters. As far as writing is concerned, there is no such issue. So therefore, what our Gemara did was write the letters down. In theory, the Sfas Emes goes on to say that we could have written all four letters down. But for brevity purposes, we only put down the two. So, first thing we see in terms of writing, that's not an issue. So that would fit in according to the Ri, and that would definitely fit in according to Tosos here as well. But we also see that the two Tosos have a difference in understanding this Isser also. Our Tosos expands it to writing, but limits it to the four-letter Shemin above. The Tosos in the Avodah Zarah expands the Isser to all the names of Hashem, but does not include writing. Okay, so that's one way to do it there. Is that our Tosfos who says, once again, Kevan De'inu Mazkiram L'Shem Shalem is going to be saying that, yeah, writing is the equivalent of speaking, but as long as you don't say the complete name of the four letters and up, it's not going to be a problem. Versus you have the Re brought down in the Avodah Zarah, who's going to be saying that, no, it doesn't matter the size of the name. The issue is the pronunciation, but if you're going to be just writing, there's not going to be an issue. Another approach to reconcile Tosos is brought down by the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer says that really we both have our Tosos and Tosos that Avodah Zarah in agreement. And that there's going to be, yes, there is an issue with being Hoga the Yod and the Hay as well. And yes, the issue has to do with reciting the letters. However, it all depends on what your intention is. Meaning, if you looked to write or to say the two-letter name and just stop at the Yud and the K, that's going to be an issue. But if your issue is to recite all four letters and you stop at the Yud and you stop at the Hey, it's not going to be an issue. In our case, since the real intention was using the four-letter name of Hashem, because that's what it was written out on the tzitz, spelling out the first two letters does not constitute a violation of the halacha. So that's the issue. That's the answer of the Chassam Sofer. Again, the Chassam Sofer is saying that we could combine the two and say the following. The issue of being Hoges Hashem applies, yes, to speaking and to writing. But it also is for a complete name. So, and it goes by your intention. So whatever complete name you're planning to say, that's going to be the issue. If your complete name is going to be just a two-letter name, then you have to stop it. Then you can't do the two letters. But if your complete name, like our Gemara, this thing, is going to be the four letters, then you would be okay. The Tshuva Saradvaz takes this idea that Toso says, that the issue is not only in reciting the name, but actually reciting the letters as well. Paskins that we cannot recite the letters as well also. And the Chayadam in Klal He writes, this is why when we recite the name of the Shem HaMeforash, we don't say the four letters that they are, but this is the source of saying Yud K Vav K. Because again, we want to be concerned with the concerns of Tosos, that the Isser applies to the letters as well. And then even though you want to know that basically what Tosos says, based on the Chassam Sofer, is that the whole Isser applies only when you're intending to say the name, the Chayadim advises when we're dealing with something very severe as misrepresenting or misusing the name of Hashem, we should exercise caution. So this is the makar for our particular minhag of reciting, whenever we see the four-letter name of Hashem, to say Yud Kei Vav Kei. So again, basically what happens, Tosos says that the Isser is expanded not only to reciting the name, but definitely reciting the letters. And while Tosos says it is only on basically the full intended name that you intend to say, nonetheless, the Achronim and the Psak by the Chai Adam is we should be always be Machmir And that's why we always say it Yud Kei Vav Kei. The interesting thing comes up is what happens when, say, a person, or some people have a minhag before they do certain mitzvahs to say the Shem Yichud. And always when it comes to the Shem Yichud, it says the Shem Yichud Kucha Berichu, and goes through what? It mentions the four-letter name of Hashem. So while the Noda Yehuda seems to say that there really is no problem in terms of doing that, because I guess that's how the tefillah was written, Rav Avadya Yosef says that really we shouldn't. And that when we do have the Shem Yichuds together, and it says the Shem Yichud, Kucha Brichu, the Ruminu, so-and-so, we shouldn't be saying that as written, but we should say either be Yud Kei Vav Kei, or just say Yud Os, Hey Os, and so on like that. Because again, whether you're doing it in the concept of tefillah, still, this concept of being Hoga Shem Shamayim, or Shem Hashem, is a severe one, and that's why something we should be careful of. Kol Tuv, have a wonderful week.